Fragments, Work in the South. July 28, 1901. Work in the South. Schools and sanitariums are to be established in the South. Great light has been shining upon us, but how little of this light we reflect to the world. Heavenly angels are waiting for human beings to cooperate with them in the practical carrying out of the principles of the truth. The gospel message is to be united with medical missionary work. The medical missionary work is the right hand which opens doors for the body, the church, enabling it to prosecute its labors. Those who engage in this work should reach a much higher standard. The leaders should be carefully selected, according to the needs of the different fields. A charge of unfaithfulness. These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Revelation 2, verse 1 to 5. The message was sent from God to headquarters that the men occupying positions of responsibility were not accomplishing their work in harmony with the mind of God, that they seemed incapable of appreciating light, that they must no longer be left in their positions. A different order of things must be inaugurated, else the conference and the churches in every place would be weakened. The heart of the work was diseased. Principles were perverted. Notwithstanding the light that God had given, men made no changes, but continued to do the very things which had caused the rebuke of God to come upon them. Some of these men were transferred to other places, but this did not change their ideas. It did not transform them in character. When they were moved, they took with them their wrong principles, and these worked as the leaven of evil. Thus, in different places, the work has been marred and defects have been seen. Christ told Nicodemus that he must be born again, that he must have a new heart. These words apply to many who are serving in responsible places. They have not the new heart which sends a current of pure, spiritual blood through the system, creating new life and consecrating the will to the service of the Master. God's wonderful love. He whose heart is filled with the truth will live the principles of truth. The truth refines and sanctifies the entire being. It develops godliness. It enables him who receives it to exert a widespread influence for good. The grace of God in the soul is plainly revealed by efficient work. The Word of God is his revealed will. This is the food man is to give the soul. Without this nourishment, the soul cannot grow. The character cannot develop symmetrically. God delights in bestowing blessings. To those who will receive him, he will be the life of the entire being. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4, verse 12. No fanciful goodness of our own, no vague reliance upon God's mercy, will secure for us access to the throne of grace. But when we come to Jehovah, renouncing ourselves and all our works, presenting our requests as needy and sinful children, relying upon the sacrifice of a crucified and risen Savior. Christ accepts the prayer, puts with it his merits, the fragrance of his character, and offers it to the Father, saying, "Receive the petition of this poor sinner." He has no merits of his own. "Because he is in such need, I give him mine. I am the way, the truth, and the life." Christ says to us, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." John 14, verse 13. Why do we not take Christ at his word? Why are we so listless and indolent? There is no need for us to rust from inaction. We may receive to impart.
God desires us, by strict temperance, to keep the mind clear and keen, that we may be able to distinguish between the sacred and the common. We should strive to understand the wonderful science of the matchless compassion and benevolence of God. Those who eat too largely and those who eat unhealthful food bring trouble upon themselves, unfitting themselves for the service of God. It is dangerous to eat meat, for animals are suffering from many deadly diseases. Those who persist in eating the flesh of animals sacrifice spirituality to perverted appetite. Their bodies become full of disease. The love of God is without computation. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 3, verse 1, 4:10, 2:2. Look at the world, godless and corrupted. How could the Father make such a sacrifice for it? Satan had declared to his synagogue that not a single human soul would maintain his loyalty to God's commandments. One soul saved would prove this statement to be false. One soul saved would demonstrate the righteousness of God's government. Created in the image of God, man must not be left for Satan to rule and ruin. Christ came to this earth, and by a life of obedience showed that man could obey. He canceled the guilt resting upon the sinner, that the sinner might stand before God clothed with the robe of righteousness. He clothed himself with the robe of sorrow. Who can fathom the suffering of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane as he felt to its fullest extent the weight of the sin of the world? So keenly did he feel the sinfulness of sin that for a moment the cup trembled in his hand, and all heaven heard the agonizing cry, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Matthew 26, verse 39. Luke 22, verse 42. And the omnipotent God suffered with his Son. Stand before the cross of Calvary and learn from it the cost of redemption. With breaking heart, the holy sufferer looks up to God and cries, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Matthew 27, verse 46. The angels of heaven sympathized with their loved commander. Gladly would they have broken their ranks and gone to his assistance. But this was not God's plan. Our Savior trod the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with him. The plan of redemption was laid to bring salvation within reach of sinners. Christ has carried out his purpose. His death has brought eternal life to all who will accept him as a personal Savior. But many, Many of those he died to save refuse to return to their loyalty. The world is fast becoming as it was before the flood. Of the world at that time, we read, "The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and, behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them. And God said to Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Genesis 6, verse 11, 12, 6, 7, 13. Christ declares, As the days of Noah were, so shall also the days of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Matthew 24, verse 37 to 39. Let not those who have had great light fold their hands, content to do nothing. The condemnation of God rests upon every idler.